Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome to the Magic Week in Review, bringing you news, rumor, and culture reports from the front lines of the magic industry on this edition of the program. Me, Justin Robert Young, editor of iTricks.com, will talk to a man who I don't already talk to enough in recorded form. I feel like many times people just don't know enough about my interactions with our guest, Brian Brushwood, of course. The co-host with me on NSFW, the co-host with me on Weird Things, the host of Revision 3's Scam School. Welcome to the Magic Week in Review.
Justin, can you verify that the title of this episode will be called Taking the Easy Base Hit? Can you, in fact, admit that that's what this is?
Well, you know, the funny, I was thinking about this before we set everything up, that, like, our friendship started talking about magic and also talking about magic on this show in particular. And then sure. We kind of stopped talking about magic and we just started talking about other things.
Wow. In fact, actually, yeah, I guess the first time was, of course, when Scam School launched, you interviewed me for iTricks. Yeah. And I was, you know, very, very flattered, you know, of course, iTricks, you know, number one magic news site. I'm like, freaking out. And then you came up to see me at Halloween Horror Nights, when I was performing on the Animal Actors stage, doing the big show at Universal Orlando, and bizarrely, we found ourselves playing Rock Band out of the back of my car, surrounded by ghouls and goblins in costume, all rocking out to David Bowie's Suffragette City.
That was a very, very fun time, and that was where, you know, really we started just BSing and kind of found that we had a lot in common. And I stayed about 2 hours later than I had promised my then girlfriend that I would stay, who was very anxiously waiting at a hotel in Orlando.
Oh my
and,
God.
Yeah, she was none too pleased and is now married to somebody else. So,
so you're saying like I completely altered the course of your life with my jackassery.
Well, it's funny because when we first started doing BB Live Show, which was the precursor, you were doing BB Live Show and then.
And BB Live Show was envisioned completely as an offshoot of Scam School. The whole purpose was let me spend more than 10 minutes once a week with this audience. Let's start doing something where I can talk to people about magic because everyone knows me for Scam School and the tricks I was teaching. And then very quickly we realized that we kind of said everything we wanted to say about magic. And then we started hosting viral video tournaments online, then Photoshop contests. And at some point it became its own comedy show.
Yeah. And it was at the point where it went from me kind of calling into your show to our show. Like there was like this slow sort of morphing.
Sure.
And around then is when I broke up with that lovely young lady. And I'd always said that I broke up with her so I could marry the internet. And I've been in a very happy relationship with the internet ever since.
Yeah. You finally moved into the internet's apartment.
I did. No, there's, I could get, all right. This is a family podcast, but I'm not going to get into how specifically the internet and I have gone along. But let's talk about magic, Brian. Of course, the host of Scam School. Scam School Book 2 is the newest version of your ebook series, which is really, we had you on the last time when you released Volume 1.
Right.
That I think revolutionizes not only magic books, but also instructional books of all stripes. Scam School Book 2 definitely takes it to the next level. I've read every single page, watched every single video, and I have to say it is above and beyond anything that is out there. And obviously, I mean, I'm in the tank for Brian because we're friends. So you can take my word at whatever grain of salt, but check it out. Go ahead and take a look at some of the
Actually download, if you have an iOS device, if you have an iPad or an iPhone, you can download, I believe, the first the introduction and the first four tricks, I think, are in there. And I think one of the things you'll realize is, number one, the content is so solid because nothing makes it on Scam School that I don't like personally. And then, so on top of that, you've got this immediate filter for stuff that, you know, I don't ever want to be the guy who does stuff because it's easy to teach, even though it's not practical and it's not usable in the real world. So I already like all of the material that's in there. We're looking at, I think it's 80 or 90 tricks in book two. And every single chapter has not only photos, not only text, but also a audio commentary track talking about the how and why and when you should use these individual routines. And, of course, living illustrations. Instead of a photo, you could click on it, and it immediately starts playing a video of exactly how to do the move. If you think about it in educational terms, this is the first magic book that ever hits in one document on all four different modalities, you know, with text, with photos, with full motion video, and with audio commentary. And each one provides a different aspect that's important to the learning process. You know, it's I'm able to say things in the audio commentary that while important and good to know, would not lengthen the chapter in a significant way that would be helpful. You know, it would be, if I were to write these things in there, it would make all of the chapters too tedious. But by talking about them, you're able to conversationally give some very important tidbits in there.
And that's what I think is kind of the real big step forward, is there are a lot of projects that kind of just throw those sort of terms around as kind of just buzz terms, like, hey, video, audio, text, like, because there's a capability to do it. And so they do it with just garbage. And I feel like you're somebody who is an ebook reader. You understand the medium. You understand the Scam School audience, and you understand magic instruction, and these are all there for a reason. So, I mean, if people are, you know, I know me as a consumer, when somebody says, like, oh, you know, it's multimedia and you can do this and that, I tend to kind of zone out just because you've heard
it. Roll your eyes, sure.
You know, but I think this is, everybody go check it out.
And I will say this. I think part of the reason that you have that feeling was because, you know, in the late 90s, as multimedia became possible, everyone figured that more is more. But I think very much we've come to realize that less is much, much more. And that's true both of Scam School, the series, because you notice every episode is short and sweet. We do the trick. We explain the trick. We make sure they learn it with a review session and a follow-up performance. And then we're out, and it's usually under 10 minutes. Likewise, the audio commentary tracks for each individual trick are maybe 60 seconds to 45 seconds to 90 seconds long enough to say all the things that you wouldn't say in the actual chapter itself. The video illustrations, it is not a video instruction guide because you don't have time for all of that. You could watch all of the videos in the entire book in the span of probably 8 or 12 minutes, but each one provides an extremely valuable service of giving you you can convey more in a single 8-second video clip than you could in three paragraphs of description. And I think that's what I love about it, is that you're able to get the maximum punch of learning in the shortest amount of time with the fewest words and the fewest amount of time investment in there.
And it's like you have the options there so you can have them. And so you can, even in a lockdown format, customize your own experience in the way that works best for you. You know, if you are a visual learner, you have the option to do it. It's not like, and now here's another page where you are forced to watch this video. You know, it's not a linear experience. It very much is a choose your own adventure. And that's what I think is special about your entire series. I'll tell you, we're probably going to touch a lot more on the Scam School book. But I wanted to talk to you about something that we kind of had a private conversation about, specifically when it comes to exposure and kind of, it's only been recently that I think, I mean, we've had conversations about this for a while, but like that you ever really wanted to talk publicly about where you were at in terms of your expectation of the magic community's reaction to Scam School and how things have played out like you thought and not played out like you thought.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. It was one of those moments where somebody said something that just sort of froze the world for me. And I looked up, and it was, you know, we're coming up on the 5-year anniversary of when I pitched Scam School. I think in 3 months, it will have been 5 years ago to the day that I made the phone call to Revision 3 and pitched them on the idea for the show. And I thought about all the things that have changed since then. YouTube was still so new that nobody knew what it was yet. They didn't know what was possible with it. Magic was still smarting from the brutal treatment that it received in the Secrets Exposed specials with the Masked Magician. To me, the real crime of those shows was less about exposing the mechanics of magic, mainly because everyone forgets it immediately. The real problem with it was the deep psychic scars of just crapping on magic on a number one television show like that was just brutal.
And making all the tricks just sort of boring yawn fest.
Yeah, well, and of course, you know, allegedly, the reason that he did it that way was because he wanted to minimize the impact on magic. But meanwhile, it's whether or not somebody actually knows how a trick is done, if they think they know it's done, and they've had somebody sneer at the trick publicly and say, but it's just a trick and you're dumb for loss. That is a very real problem. So it is fascinating to me to see the groundswell of massive, massive support for Scam School as a teaching tool for young new magicians. Because when Scam School launched, I was terrified. You know, here I am in a public forum with an ad-supported format that basically teaching beginner magic. And am I going to be the next masked magician?
Let me ask you that. So in the pitch process, fairly or unfairly, are you preparing yourself for a life of defending your position as the new masked magician?
You know what? I figured one of two things would happen. Either the show would not be good and it would be irrelevant, or it would be good and become popular, and then I would need to defend it. And I didn't know how good as a host I would be. I didn't know how good as a writer I would be. I didn't know how good as a researcher I would be. But I knew that I was up for the adventure. I knew that as long as from beginning to end, I always believed sincerely in the content that we were putting out and that it was appropriate. Because you'll notice every episode of Scam School, the reason it's definitely not an exposure show, and this is something that I had to date, I believe two magicians in all of history do not love Scam School. And that is amazing to me. Like, for as scared as I was of a big backlash, instead, you know, Andrew Main calls me up, tells me how much he loves it. Michael Amar calls me up, tells me how much he loves it. Rudy Kobe, Chris Kenner, all of these people who I worship as creators of magic say, what you are doing is so good. You are the ambassador to magic in new media. And that has been so immensely satisfying to me. But for the people who do say, I got a problem with this.
And two people have loudly hated it. I'm sure many hate it silently.
No, only two people in the world.
Two people, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, just speaking on behalf of your self-loathing complex, I'm sure there are many more that are very quiet about it.
Make sure to dig a little deeper. here's the important thing is the reason you could tell it's not an exposure show is if it was an exposure show, every episode would be 3 minutes long, and it would be show the effect and reveal the gimmick, and that would be the end of it. But if anything, Scam School has its biggest criticizers are these kids on YouTube who really do just want to know how it's done, and they find Scam School an agonizing experience because they have to sit for 10 whole minutes. Yeah. They have to see the trick performed with real people in real situations. They have to watch laboriously as they're taught and retaught, and then finally they have to sit through an entire C block that's nothing but watching these people who just learned the trick solidify the lessons by actually performing it on each other. And it's in that way, Scam School is almost intentionally tedious enough to where it forces you to the show is not very good if all you want to do is learn how stuff is done. But if what you want to do is learn some really good magic, if what you want to do is learn some interesting social skills, whether it's learning how to count cards or open combination locks without the key. Well, I guess there's no key in a combination lock, but you know what I mean? Then you're going to love it. But if you just want to know how it's done, Scam School is not going to treat you right. There are a billion pirate jerks out there who are busy exposing the works of some of magic's finest creators.
So what was different fundamentally at this point as you look back on the experience? Like what developed differently culturally in general and specifically in magic?
Culturally in general, certainly we have seen YouTube as a dominant... Two things have happened in the last 5 years. One is we've seen YouTube emerge as a dominant media to get information of all varieties out there. We've seen and identify with people trying to get their message out of regimes on the other side of the world where they're trying to stop the signal, and we cheer when they're able to get word out with their pro-freedom messages. The Arab Spring has been phenomenal. Likewise, I think some of the psychic scars of being screwed over by the masked magician have started to heal, and magicians have started to realize that that you can't stop people from talking now. In the beginning, there was a gap between the person who knew the trick and the person who didn't, and the only way was to study underneath that person for dozens of years before you got the secrets. And then discovery of witchcraft comes out, and now all you have to do is buy this book. Yeah. And that was outrageous at the time. And then libraries started to host magic sections, and it was outrageous that you could go and learn the secrets of all the great magicians just by walking down to the local store. And then the internet happened. And what's happening is that gap is getting smaller and smaller, but meanwhile, the people we perform for are becoming more willing to be fooled. You are starting to see this movement of people. You know, Penn and Teller have that beautiful opening routine where they invite everyone to check out this box, and then they say, Teller's going to escape from it, and we're not going to put up a curtain. You're either going to decide that you want to see something amazing or you want to see a sweaty middle-aged man climb out of a box. And we are starting to... I think it's good for magic. I mean, I would hope it's good for magic that people are allowing themselves to experience the magic on purpose by deciding, yeah, I probably could, Google this answer, but that would take like 4 whole minutes. And I'd rather just talk about it over a beer with a friend.
So, all right, let me just offer a slightly more cynical element to that.
Is this more of you digging for
No. This is in general about magic, and I want your opinion on it.
Okay.
I think what's changed with YouTube isn't the fact that people have come to peace with the things they had a problem with in terms of YouTube. I think what's changed is that it has become such a utilitarian tool that delights people that they've been able to make peace with the medium. That if, they might hate the fact that crappy magic is performed on YouTube, and people might hate the fact that magic is exposed on YouTube, and they might hate YouTube and blame it for all of that.
Yeah.
But they still love the fact that they can watch the Pendragons perform, that we put up a thing on iTrix that was like, I think it was an internal Disney video that had a Pendragons performance from like the early 90s.
Wow.
And that doesn't happen without YouTube. And like that one routine, that Mr. Electro routine from a billion years ago, lives on YouTube permanently for us to call up and watch at our amusement. So you can only for the one time that it gets upset, did you get upset about something? There's a billion other times that you are delighted by it. And so in general, that can only happen positively so many times without your fundamental understanding of the medium changing.
I agree. I think that's 100% correct. And I think that all of us as magicians would prefer that we knew everything and everyone else knew nothing. But of course, there's no way for that to be a reality. And you can either mitigate the distribution of it and craft a culture of appreciation for magic, which is why which is what we do with Scam School. You know, every trick we do on Scam School, I insist that every trick be one that somebody will actually perform or could actually perform 3 beers into it later that night, only half remembering whatever it is they saw. It's got to be that dead simple, because if it's not, then it is exposure. If you teach something knowing that there's no way somebody's actually going to perform this, then you are just scratching that itch for them. And that's not what you should do. And that's not what Scam School is about. That is the most gratifying thing to me, is hearing about people, performing stuff that you write it, you put it out there, you think it's a good idea, and then someone tells you changed their life. You get a letter from a kid in Bulgaria that says, I got teased in middle school, and now they know me as the magic man, and it's awesome. Thank you so much. I mean, it's like to be that guy to give people that their first hit of that drug, that rush of being on top of the world for Magic. It's so satisfying. It's so encouraging.
How long did you think Scam School was going to go when you started it?
50 episodes. 50 episodes, and then I was convinced we were going to be done. It was one of those things where I decided that what happens if I run out of idea and the show's popular and they want more? And the answer was, well, that'll be a really good problem to have.
Yeah.
And instead, what happens is, even to this day, I keep finishing every shoot thinking, well, that's it. There are no more ideas. And then I get emails from people who, you know, share a bar experience that their grandfather told them about, or even more satisfying, you'll notice in the last year, the guest magicians who have contributed material and on-screen appearances, you know, of course, Andrew Main, the Danny Icebreaker, Garcia. Rich Ferguson, Danny Garcia, and having Michael Ammar. You know, Michael Ammar is the reason that I know any close-up at all. It was his videotapes. And I remember, this is how far back it goes. I remember in the early 90s, there being controversy about Michael Ammar's Easy to Master Card Miracles tapes, because the video format, you're not really learning the trick. You're just parroting the actions that he's making.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you know, he didn't write all these routines. He's just going around to other magicians asking if he could teach them on his thing. And he's like, yes. And it was great. And it was the best magic in the world, most powerful. And it meant everything to me as a kid to be able to watch these VHS tapes. And to have Michael on Scam School, where we're at the Misdirections Magic Shop, and so many of the local magicians came out. They're so excited. They're excited for, you know, what Scam School happens. And all of a sudden I realize, holy crap, to some kid out there feels about me the way I feel about Michael Ammar to this day. And that's real magic right there.
If I were to tell you when you did your first episode of Scam School that Dig.com would sell for 80 times less than Revision 3, and you would be a big part of that evaluation, what would you tell me?
Oh my God. You just blew my mind out the back of my head right then. Because I was looking, somebody showed me a chart recently.
And for those of you who don't know, and this is going to be way technical for a magic podcast, but
that's fine.
Dig.com, the news aggregator site, and this is news that just broke today. We're recording this on Thursday, sold for $500,000, which in terms of the number, in terms of tech companies, me and Brian would have a decent shot at creating something in a weekend that could sell for $500,000. And that's not even a joke. Like that's, if you have something that has promise and you talk
and there
to
was
the
a
right
time
person,
that dig.com was the center of the internet. Dig.com was the internet to a lot of people. And I actually did not even know this. I'm hearing this for the first time.
Oh yeah. No, it sold for $500,000.
Holy cow.
Compare that to another company founded by Kevin Rose, Revision 3, the network that Scam School is on, which sold to Discovery in April for $40 million.
Oh, was that the final number? I hadn't heard that.
At least that's what I'm trying to read right here, because I wanted to bring this up, because I had this thought when we were talking about it. But like, you know, that medium that you were on, Revision 3, and I don't know, if I'm going out of line with this, then I will edit I will edit it out of the podcast. But I've had conversations with you before where you've said, I wanted to do 50 episodes and either I was going to get canceled or this fly-by-night nonsense network was going to go under.
Oh, sure. I mean, you got to remember how much everyone was smarting over the collapse of the first internet bubble, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, somewhere around 2003, if you said you want to start an internet company, people just laughed. And now here I was, you know, just 4 years after that in early 2007, pitching stuff for a highly experimental. I mean, the idea of being a television production studio that didn't have a television station, that they were just going to make their content and hope that it went out to the masses and would fly free. I was hopeful, but I would say not entirely, you know, blindly optimistic about it. I was like, you know, I said, I hope that this goes somewhere. And I hope, you know, whatever the ride is, I hope I'm able to ride it to the end. I really did not expect at that time that Revision 3 would blow up the way it has, and that Scam School would, at this point, is now, it's the third longest running Revision 3 original on the whole network, which is amazing to me. We're creeping up on 250 episodes in 5 years of this.
What would you think is the legacy for Scam School?
I wonder, because what I've noticed with the numbers is, you know, you have initial rush, and there's, I believe, 45 days. I think that's fairly standard for, you got 45 days to make whatever revenues you're going to make from the sponsors who make the show possible. And then after that, there's sort of this heat death where the only way to make money on the old episodes is you have pre-roll at the beginning and pre-roll at the end, and maybe an ad that pops up on the lower third. The heat death for Scam School is amazing because they continue. When people discover Scam School, they don't just look at the last three or four episodes because those are the most relevant. Instead, they go back, you know, they watch one episode, they keep going back two or three other episodes, and then at some point they just dive in and say, I want to learn everything in this library. And, you know, Scam School essentially becomes this lesson. I mean, think about it. If you went back and watched all the episodes, hopefully you'd have a good time, but more importantly, have 300 plus really good tricks to impress your friends when you're out of the bar. And it is shocking to me. I never saved anything for the swim back, and apparently that was the right thing to do because it seems to work out pretty well by now.
And I'm sorry, just to give people a context to that Dig Revision 3 thing, I just want to give, I realize people have, a lot of people listening have no idea what the hell Dig was. I'm reading a TechCrunch post from July 26, 2008 that had due diligence work. In the due diligence phase, Google was going to acquire Dig for $200 million.
Holy cow.
That was in July 26, 2008. It is now July 12th, 2012. 4 years later, it sells for $500,000, a can of Pringles and a soft kiss on the neck to whoever. And meanwhile, Revision 3, which, I mean, I know colloquially had kind of been looked at as the cute little way that Kevin Rose liked to spend the rest of his day.
Right.
You know, sells for $40 million. And I really don't think that, Brian, I mean, you can understate your role in that. I mean, there are only so many people that are marquee personalities, especially homegrown marquee personalities. And, you know, it's you, Veronica Belmont, Patrick Norton at Techzilla, and maybe Ryan Connolly of Filmwright, and certainly Alex Albrecht and the Totally Rad Show guys, you know, but that's...
Yeah, I do not want to be on the record as you know, acting as if, you know, I own any of the success of Revision 3. Revision 3...
I'm telling you. All right. And if you're not going to say that, then you're stupid, and I'll say it for you, and I'll cut you off. You're a very big part of it, and Magic's a very big part of it, and I feel like that doesn't get enough credit. I don't feel like people realize or comprehend that Magic is a part of this media in a way that, you know, it has been a part of so many others. It was a big part of the rise of television. It's a big part of the rise of this. And you are the first personality to really, you know, be homegrown with it. I mean, certainly we've seen Magic clips from Blaine and Angel and Copperfield collect gigantic amounts of views on stuff like YouTube, but you're a homegrown guy for this. I mean, is that like, I know you and you don't, and you'll never say it, but like, like you do know that, right? That's a very cool thing.
I'll tell you, it's not something that I really pause to think about. And it's neat to hear you
pause.
Say that.
Stop talking and think about it.
But I'll tell you this much. If there's one thing that I'm most proud of, the legacy of Scam School is that, is how many magicians it's minted. And regardless of how you feel, whether or not you have to pay for Magic, and it's not, you know, I mean, there are people who didn't like Magic books being in the library because they didn't want books available for free to people to learn Magic. And it's like, to me, if I want to have the heart of a teacher, and if you want to learn, I want to teach you. And I want to instill in you the same values that were instilled in me, that you should credit the people who created things. You should work as a team with other magicians. And so to anyone, and I suppose you're right, there probably is someone out there who doesn't dig on the fact that Scam School's ad supported. Regardless,
I love ad supported as a synonym for free.
Well, no, it is. I mean, look,
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying you're correct. You're 150% correct. But the person who hates Scam School will say it's free. And you are correctly pointing out.
Oh, it is most certainly not free. And it's like, and you stop that language right there, Justin Robert Young.
Yes. Because it's not. Because it's not. And I do feel like that's going, that's, if somebody would like to have a discussion about this, then the distinction be pointed out, because it is not. And there are other things. And I don't necessarily think that I would not use free as a pejorative. I think that would be ignorant to do personally. I think that there are other, you know, there are YouTube series that are out there that teach magic, that do instructional magic, that are free, that are, yeah, you know, they're produced and they make money strictly through YouTube. Yours is not one of them. There is an ad staff that goes out and talks to people, and, you know, Mountain Dew or Coors Light say, like, yes, we want to reach these kind of magicians, and that's why we're going to have an ad buy in Scam School.
Think about that. Think about that, that we're living in a world now where you could be so targeted that a mega corporation like Miller Coors can say, we think that there's enough of a value of targeting the magician demographic and selling to them. That is awesome to me. And so the point I was going to say earlier is the legacy of Scam School is that we've minted a lot of magicians. And I think a world with more magicians will be more magical. I think that the more magicians there are out there, the more people who will go to magic shows. As a magician, I know that my attendance to see live performers of magic has increased 1,000-fold after learning, you know, learning and practicing, having a little bit of the drug, having that high of pulling a great trick and fooling somebody. And that is a world that I'm excited to live in. I want more magicians out there. I want magic clubs to be bustling, exciting, electric events, not sleepy places where people argue about who gets credit for where to put what pinky.
Yeah. Although then, the more magicians go to magic shows, you're going to have to do an episode of Scam School about cheering.
You know what? I should. I am. Oh my God. Does that drive you nuts? It's like every single magician knows that when you perform, you like it for people to clap for you. So why magicians would sit there with their arms folded, glaring at a performer, staring at his hands? Like, I am such a good audience member for any magician. It's like, I know.
Especially if you get comped. Like, I know dudes who get comped who just sit there with their arms folded, mean mugging.
Dude, I tell you, it's like, look, I know that you're going to do a pass when you look me in the eye and ask me a meaningful question. I've read my Max Maleeny, right? Yes. And so it's like, and yes, I have a part to play as a good audience member. Because you know what? Damn it, I want to experience magic. Somebody fooled me today, and I wouldn't let them tell me how it was done, because it's so, for a magician, it's increasingly rare to, you got two highs. You have the high of pulling a trick off on someone else, but you have the high that got you into it to begin with of being really fooled by some killer magic. And to me, it's like, I want to hold on to being fooled, and I'm sure that next week I'll think back and I'll be like, oh, son of a gun, he did do that in this order. I bet it was stacked this way. But for right now, I have no idea how he did it. And that is precious. And I want more people to experience that.
Scam School is the podcast. Scam School book, volume 1 and 2, is available on Amazon, the iTunes store, anywhere ebooks are sold. Scam School podcast, of course, available on revision3.com/scamschool or iTunes, anywhere else that you normally find video podcasts. Brian, I didn't expect this to kind of become like the definitive Scam School interview, but I feel like it kind of did.
Well, it especially, I think it just is the right, I think it's the right time. I mean, it's some interesting anniversaries happening, you know, big things happened at Revision 3, big things happening with Scam School, with the books being released. And it's far enough down the road that for the first time, I'm not just thinking about, all right, how do I come up with 12 more stupid ideas that I could turn into something awesome.
Yeah.
And then now it's just like, holy crow, I climbed a lot of stairs. How many metaphors was that? That was like 8 metaphors.
That was a lot. I feel like at some point you ate a sandwich, you ate a crow sandwich on some steps and then climbed to.
Then I gave a back rub to Ernest Borgnine.
Oh, look at that. Oh, RIP Ernest Borgnine.
But he was Mermaid Man costume.
Exactly. Well, you know, well, we all know what that means. Well, let me ask you real quick before we wrap everything up then. with the sale to Discovery, do you expect anything different from Scam School? Do you expect Scam School to change any?
I think
maybe evolve.
I think if it does, it'll be exciting and probably a good thing. You know, as much as we don't like change, after it happens, usually people credit it for all kinds of, you know, new inspiration and new direction and making things exciting again. I don't know. I kind of hope so, because that would be fun and interesting, especially if, you know, of course, Discovery.com already picked up the back catalog of Scam School episodes.
And that happened before the sale. All right. Well, Brian at Schwood on Twitter, Schwood.com for all the information. Any other, anything else you want to get out there?
No, just I'll tell you what, though. Drop me an email. Drop me an email and tell me what you would like to see from Scam School. You know, because I think it's exciting for me that years later, it's clear that that magicians seem to dig what I'm up to. And I'd love to hear what magicians want to see the show go into.
Absolutely. Check it out, folks. All right. That about brings us to the end of another iTricks Magic Week in Review. If you'd like to get every single story that happens in Magic, we cover all of them. There's nothing that happens without us letting you know about it. Go on over to iTricks.com, like your grandpa did it. Read it on the website. Or be like one of those hip cats who go and read it on Facebook Twitter. At iTricks on Twitter. Check it out. It's going to be fun.
Did you just say, what is it called, Twitter?
What is it, the Twitter?
Is that you pandering to the older audience?
No, that was me pandering. It's because I called it iTwit for a second, and then I realized that there's nothing called iTwit in the world. There's just Twitter. And then iTricks is on Twitter. So I was trying to untie my tongue, and I wound up sounding like a real honking goose. anyhow, so check it out. I'm Justin Robert Young, at Justin R. Young on Twitter. Bang and gone.
iTricks.com.